Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 78 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Children's activities on the yard, bouncy houses, art projects, games, all kinds of fun things.
Arts and Eats will take off in Moorhead's downtown tomorrow.
Fleming County school officials hope they can salvage flood-damaged paper records.
Two precincts in Boyd County have been split.
Kentucky's first charter school could be open by next fall.
Elliott County will receive $29,000 in emergency road aid.
In sports, Rowan hosts Bourbon under the Friday night lights.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows near 60 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The 6th Annual Arts and Eats Festival will take place tomorrow in downtown Moorhead. The festival showcases local food, crafts, and family-friendly activities. Rowan County Arts Center Director Ash Gillum says money from the festival helps support the Gateway Children's Advocacy Center, Doves of the Gateway, Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, and the Rowan County Arts Center.
When you buy food at, let's say, the baseball boosters or a church or some other organization or a small business, they're doing a 50-50 split with us. So not only are you raising money for those four charities, but that other 50% goes to local businesses, local sports teams, local churches. And so you're doing like, it's like a two-for-one deal.
The festival begins at 11 a.m. and will end at 4 p.m. on Main Street in downtown Moorhead.
The Moorhead Community Soup Kitchen is looking for more volunteers. Soup Kitchen owner Lula Pico says they need volunteers and cash donations to help keep the bills paid. Pico says all volunteers are welcome and there are multiple jobs to be done.
They may be sweeping, they may be helping cook, they may be doing dishes, they may be serving, they may be cleaning bathrooms. You know, I don't have anybody that walk in and say, okay, this is all you're going to do.
The kitchen serves about 200 to 250 people a day. Pico says it is entirely based on volunteers who come on a daily basis. The soup kitchen is located at 3103 Flemingsburg Road.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says he'll run next year for a second term in office. Trent notes that he wanted to announce that decision now instead of waiting until the January deadline for his filing re-election bid.
I've had a lot of people approach me, and they know it's kind of getting close. And since I was the underdog last time, I feel like at this point, the earlier the better for me to get out in front and be able to maybe raise money, but also put it behind me so that I can concentrate on some things we want to get done leading up until the end of this calendar year.
Trent says he decided to run again after much thought and prayer, noting that he has several projects he'd like to see through in a potential second term. Trent was first elected as Moorhead's mayor back in 2014.
Kentuckians looking to purchase a vehicle should be cautious of existing flood damage. That word from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. John Mark Hack, commissioner of the Department of Vehicle Regulation, says the recent hurricanes in Florida and Texas will likely result in an influx of damaged vehicles. Under state law, many of these vehicles are rebuilt and resold at low prices. He urges consumers to conduct research before purchasing, even if no damage is readily apparent.
But it will quickly become apparent as you drive it. So we're just encouraging people to raise their awareness and to just take proper caution.
Hack says a flood of title requests for damaged vehicles is common after natural disasters.
Fleming County Superintendent Brian Kreisman remains optimistic that most of the district's paper records that were damaged during a late July flood can be salvaged. Water filled the basement of the district's central office building where those records had been stored after a rainstorm forced a nearby creek to clear its banks. Officials then hired the disaster recovery firm Belfour to try and save as many of those documents as possible. Superintendent Kreisman says the company is successfully using a freeze-dry process to do that, but notes that after those records are returned, many of them will be computerized.
Sometimes the Kentucky statute says we have to have hard copies, so obviously we have to keep those, but we may be able to digitalize them as well. But those records that we can just digitalize, put them on a server, put them on the cloud somewhere, and make backup copies of them, we're also looking at that. And that reduces risk and also saves a lot of time.
Creisman says the records that need to be maintained in paper form will be placed in another part of Fleming District's central office building that can't be flooded.
The Boyd County Clerk's Office has made changes to voting precincts. Kenzie Thompson reports.
According to the Daily Independent, voters in southern and southeastern Boyd County will be affected by the change. The former Durban-Ashland Oil Precinct with 1,544 voters was split into the Durban Precinct with 864 voters and the Ashland Oil Precinct with 687. The East Fork Precinct with 1,225 voters was also divided and is now the Rush Precinct with 555 voters and the East Fork Precinct with 573 voters. After the changes are approved by the State Board of Elections, the county will have 48 precincts. Before the split, the county only had two poll workers in each precinct. Now, the county can send more workers and voting machines to ease the election flow. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
A decision on the future location of the Mason County Library should come by the end of the year. That word comes from Director Valerie Zemter, who says the library board is still trying to decide whether to build a new structure on the outskirts of Maysville or remodel its current downtown facility, which is outdated, sits on unstable ground, and has structural issues. According to Zemter, the idea of possible constructing a new library downtown is not an option.
What we understand from the geotechnical surveyors that we consulted, most of the land downtown is similar to what we're sitting on here. And there are some code issues with vulnerability to earthquake that we have to abide by. Also, where we're located in town, it's probably the best traffic spot. So if we can stay downtown, we'll probably stay right where we are.
Zemter says building a new library would cost between $3 and $4.5 million, while renovating its current building would cost anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million. We'll get back to more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Eagle Finance presents the 25th annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival this weekend at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds, US 60 East in Moorhead. Music by Lonesome River Band, Russell Moore, Third Time Out, Larry Cordell, John Anderson, Gary Brewer, Kentucky Ramblers, Gibson Brothers, and more. Daily and weekend passes are at the gate or by calling 606-784-2277 or online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Kentucky's unemployment rate was 5.4% in August, holding at the same rate as July of this year. Kentucky's professional and business sector and education and health services sector had the largest employment gains last month, adding 3,400 jobs per sector. Cabinet spokesperson Chris Bollinger says those numbers are normal.
Anytime jobs increase, that's good news. Education and health services has been increasing generally, but that's been a sector that's been very strong for a long time, and so that's not particularly surprising or new. I guess education services decreased slightly in August, but in general, healthcare has been very strong.
Employment statistics undergo sharp fluctuations due to seasonal events such as weather changes, harvests, holidays, and school openings and closings.
The first charter school in Kentucky could be in place in time for the 2018-19 school year. Louisville native Earl Sims is the director for the State Education Department's newly created division of charter schools. Sims tells Spectrum News' Pure Politics that the first place that you'll likely see charter schools will be in the urban areas like Louisville and Lexington.
The most interest we've seen as far as locating a charter school in the Commonwealth so far have come from those larger areas, so Jefferson County, a little bit Fayette County, and some in northern Kentucky. And I think just gauging by some of the interest that's come in, that's where you will see them first.
Sims says one advantage of Kentucky becoming the 44th state to legalize charter schools is the fact that he can see where other states have failed or succeeded with charter schools as he tries to make Kentucky's school initiatives work.
Discussion on a resolution that the Kentucky Retirement Board of Trustees planned on delivering to Governor Matt Bevin was postponed yesterday. According to Spectrum News' Pure Politics, The proposal asks Governor Bevin and lawmakers to honor benefits that government workers and pensioners have gathered under the inviolable contract. Kentucky Government Retirees co-founder Jim Carroll says KRS should be defending retirees' pensions.
We either have contract rights or we don't, and this board either has a duty to enforce those rights or it doesn't. If it has taken a position that it doesn't have that duty, then I would like for them to transparently explain why they don't believe they have that duty, just as for the benefit of those of us who are members.
With $37 billion to $64 billion in unfunded liabilities, Kentucky's public pension program is one of the least funded programs in the country.
An ambulance service has come to the rescue in southern Floyd County after the region's former provider shut down unexpectedly. WYMT reports Transtar Ambulance Service is setting up shop in the absence of Left Beaver Ambulance Service, which closed its doors last Thursday for financial reasons. Regional Director of Operations Bert Absher says Transtar now serves a much larger service area, but they're better equipped to handle it after hiring the former employees of Left Beaver Ambulance.
We have hired them. We offered them our benefits package, and we've brought some people on board that are happy to be on board with Transtar. We're putting a chase car protocol into place, which means we're going to staff our paramedics in quick response vehicles.
Absher says the new crew has responded to roughly 20 calls in the past week, all of which were successful. From now on, Transtar will maintain two trucks in the Left Beaver service area and serve about 2,000 people within the region.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has announced road aid funds for Elliott County. WMKY's Sam Burton has more.
Elliott County will receive $29,130 in country road aid emergency funds. The money will be used for flood damage repairs on Horton Flat Road near the Oral Ridgeway Road intersection over a tributary of the Little Sandy River. KYTC Secretary Greg Thomas says the emergency funds will help repair and restore the damaged infrastructure throughout the community. The Elliott County Fiscal Court is responsible for completing all phases of the work. For WMKY News, I'm Sam Burton.
After a summer of spotty water service, the city of Ashland is planning to replace a major pipe. WSAZ reports the new pipe is intended to maintain water service in the event of another line break. Ashland City Manager Michael Grease says they realized it was necessary in August after there were seven separate water line breaks in a three-day period.
As a result of that break, we realized if we'd had redundancy in this line in that area, it would have had less impact on the city.
The 1,800-foot-long section of pipe sits under 29th Street, which has been closed at various points throughout the summer for sewer line work. The city commissioners passed an ordinance for the project yesterday, allotting nearly $70,000 for the installation. The work is scheduled to finish up in spring of next year.
A lot of new businesses have been popping up in Paintsville lately, but the economic growth has put a strain on local public utilities. That's according to Bob Pack, general manager for Paintsville Utilities. He spoke to WYMT.
We have a capacity issue with our Paintsville sewer plant. That's just the Paintsville plant. We're looking at some new infrastructure. We're going to redirect some of our flow to our second plant. This is down the road.
Pack says the sewer plant is currently at more than 90% capacity. Because of this, Paintsville is under a sewer sanction, which restricts businesses from constructing new buildings. Entrepreneurs are allowed to set up in existing structures, provided they have pre-existing utility lines. PAC estimates the new infrastructure will be completed by April of 2019. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Fleming, Elliott, and Bath County. Tonight, patchy dense fog after 11 p.m., partly cloudy, otherwise with lows around 58 degrees. On Saturday, areas of dense fog before 10 a.m., mostly sunny and hot with highs near 81. Otherwise, Saturday night, patchy fog after 5 a.m., partly cloudy with lows around 61. And on Sunday, patchy fog before 9 a.m., mostly sunny with highs near 82, and clear skies on Sunday night with lows around 62 degrees. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 76 degrees in Flemingsburg and Ashland. It's 75 in Inez, and it is sitting at 77 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, with the taking down of memorials to slavery, commentator John Modaff ponders the project and where it might end.
As you might imagine, perpetually curious listeners sometimes get tired of waiting for a topic to roll by, so they prompt this commentator with letters. Let's dig into just one today. Dear John, I'm so pleased that the national conversation has turned at last to slavery and its legacy. The tearing down of memorials to the monsters who supported slavery in the United States is a long-awaited sign of progress. Maybe now we can begin to talk about reparations to survivors, to be paid by people of any generation who profited or benefited from slavery. Signed, G.W. from Fifield, a web listener. Well, dear G., the conversation has indeed heated up since people who have been too long silent have coalesced on this issue. It's good to tear down what seems to honor slavery. I'm all for that. But let's realize that the project just begins with nixing the statues, memorials, street and building names, and flags. Reparations for slavery must include what happened in the USA during and before the 19th century, but must also include what is happening right now. You and I are very likely beneficiaries of slavery. There are more slaves in the world today than ever in history, doing nearly every kind of work under conditions that range from utter slavery to forced work without hope. Do you play soccer? The ball was likely produced by a barely paid child who was forced to work 21 hours a day. Do you wear makeup? Give a thought to the Indian children slaving to mine mica so you can glimmer. And your smartphone? A U.S. Department of State official is quoted by the McClatchy Organization as stating, "The likelihood that one of those was not touched by a slave is pretty low." And the list goes on and on. The world's more than 20 million slaves, and that's the low end of estimates, produce goods that we all use. Even if you do not use any of them, which is unlikely, the profits that are accrued through slave labor fatten up the balance sheets of stocks, bonds, retirement plans, and portfolios, more than likely including yours. Thus, we are all beneficiaries of slavery right now, you and I, and that would include all of the persons who are tearing down statues and insisting reparations be paid. It appears they are blissfully unaware that the problem they consider to be past is one they participate in and profit from right now. Should it matter who the slave is? When the slave is? Should it matter where the slave is? Does it mean anything to you that the slave is a modern slave? Is that somehow okay? Slavery is not a thing that was. Slavery is a thing that is. And to the degree that we benefit with cheaper food, clothes, makeup, devices, vehicles, medicines, and more, we are all complicit. So let's admire the sentiment of those wishing to scrub clean all memorials of the defenders and profiteers of slavery. But let's also be careful about tearing down that first stone, for it may easily be picked up and cast upon us who reap the spoils of slavery in 2017. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Moorhead State University. It's 448 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett. We are so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
The Vikes battle the Colonels. For reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Round County football team will play for the first time on the new artificial turf at Paul Owsley Stadium tonight at 7:30 when it entertains Bourbon County. To beat the 2-1 Colonels, Rowan coach Kelly Ford says his young defense will need to play better than it did during the Vikings' 49-23 loss last week to Fleming County.
We got a tackle. We had some open field tackles that we missed during the game and, that, you know, cost, you know, could easily been a 10-yard catch. But we make the tackle. I mean, we make the tackle. They don't score a touchdown. So improving things like that and basically our, you know, keep working our young guys of communication in the secondary and our coverages and stuff like that.
Rowan is 1-3 and losers of three straight. Elsewhere tonight, 2-2 Ashland Blazer host old rival Ironton of Ohio. Blazer coach Tony Love says beating the Tigers is important, and as the Tomcats look forward to starting district play next week.
You want to build on momentum. You want to be healthy. You know, you want to continue to do the things well that you have been doing, and then you want to, you know, continue to eliminate the mistakes that you've been making.
2-1-2 teams meet as Lewis County visits Fairview. Lewis coach Josh Hughes worries about the Eagles' big play capability.
If the game is close, that type of thing gets scary. You know, like direct snaps to the halfback. You know, they love to run the quarterback, and it almost seems like the quarterback gets tired, but they don't care to put somebody else in to run the same play. So I think we really have to keep it in front of us and force them to move the chains on us instead of getting big plays.
Other games include Russell's at Boyd, Bath visits Estill, Fleming travels to Montgomery, West Carter is at Nicholas, and Morgan heads to Shelby Valley. The 1-1 Morehead State football team visits former OVC and PFL rival Austin Peay tomorrow night at 7. Even though the 0-2 Govs are currently mired in a 29-game losing streak, MSU senior linebacker Jacob Billers says the Eagles have to play well to beat them.
You know, they lost some games, but every team you play, especially this level, is going to have some playmakers, and they definitely have some. Just going to have to contain them the best we can, prepare for them like we prepare for any other opponent. And just like Liberty Game, they're a scholarship school, but, you know, we have a good feeling about it. We think we can go in there and get a victory.
MSU is 27-17 lifetime against Austin Peay. Kentucky and Louisville also play tomorrow. The Wildcats visit South Carolina for their SEC opener in a battle of 2-0 teams. Coach Mark Stoops says a key for UK will be keeping the clamps on the Gamecocks' junior wide receiver, Debo Samuel, who he calls a game changer.
He does a lot of things. They want the ball in his hands. He's got quite a few touches. He'll get things on reverses and little fly sweeps and, you know, kick returns in many different ways. And obviously, they'll isolate him and try to get you one-on-one with him as well in the pass game.
As for number 14, U of L, the Cardinals will host third-ranked Clemson at 3 p.m. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Cincinnati Bengals have fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Zampezi, after 15 seasons. Coach Marvin Lewis says in a meeting with the press today that after going 0-2 so far this season, the offense needs better execution. Quarterbacks coach Bill Lazor will assume play-calling duties for the team. In other NFL news, the New York Giants could have star receiver Odell Beckham Jr. for Monday night's game against Detroit. He practiced on a limited basis yesterday. He's trying to come back from a sprained ankle that he suffered 3 weeks ago. With baseball season slowly drawing to a close, the fifth-place Cincinnati Reds are putting their pride on the line as they begin a series with fourth-place Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh right-hander Chad Kuhl will start against Reds veteran Homer Bailey. Game time is set for 7:10 at the Great American Ballpark. And currently, the Cubs are losing to the Cardinals 2-8 in the bottom of the seventh. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are slated to start preseason practices this Sunday. Coach Mike McGuire's ball club went 36-23 overall and 18-11 in the OVC last year. The Eagles are returning seven starters from last season, including outfielder Nico Holsizer, who slammed 27 homers and was named co-OVC Player of the Year. The Morehead State volleyball team has three matches starting tonight at the Red Flash Classic at St. Francis of Pennsylvania. MSU plays Norfolk State tonight with Bucknell and St. Francis slated for tomorrow. Coach Jamie Gordon says a key for the Eagles will be their ability to battle through adversity.
All three teams are pretty aggressive serving, so they're going to try and force us out of system. And if we do that, we've got to make sure that we can kind of carry the weight with our outsides. That was an area that I think we had a little bit of room for improvement.
The MSU Volleyball Eagles start this weekend with a 6-4 record. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer will host OVC opponent Eastern Kentucky at 1 p.m. on Sunday and Southeast Missouri at 6 p.m. on Friday, September 22nd. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rose to record levels and were set to post strong weekly gains as the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 64.86 to finish at a record close of 22,268.34. The S&P 500 was up 4.61, and it also hit an all-time closing high of 2,500.23. And, of course, that's the first time the S&P 500 has hit the 2,500 level. The NASDAQ composite was shy of a record close, but was still strong, finishing with a gain of 19.38 at 6448.47. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 9 to 5 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Information technology and financials were among the best performing sectors. And the three major indices finished the week at least 1.4% higher, and the Dow also notched its biggest weekly gain since the week of December the 9th. Bank stocks were in the spotlight this week, and the Spider S&P Bank Exchange Traded Fund gained 4.2% for the week, and this was its biggest weekly rise since June. The jump comes on the back of stronger-than-expected inflation numbers, which increased expectations for a Federal Reserve rate hike. And, of course, the Labor Department yesterday said that the Consumer Price Index rose almost 2% last month on a year-over-year basis, and that helped boost expectations for a December Fed rate hike to near 53%. U.S. Treasury yields have surged this week, and, of course, that's helped bank stocks. The benchmark 10-year yield started the week near 2.09%, and it closed just under 2.2% today. In economic news, retail sales for August fell 0.2%. Economists polled going into the report expected a gain of 0.1%. And, of course, many analysts pointed to Hurricane Harvey as a reason for the shortfall on retail sales. Meanwhile, industrial production fell nearly 1% last month. Investors also looked to Asia after North Korea launched a missile that flew over Japan and landed in the Pacific Ocean. World markets had a mixed reaction to the event, as in Europe, the Stock 600 index was down 0.25%. And markets in Asia were actually mixed, as the Shanghai index was down 0.5%, but Japan's Nikkei index was up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Verizon. The worst performers were Pfizer and Visa. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Nvidia and Western Digital, and the worst performers were Oracle and Ansys. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 47 cents at 64.01, CSX up 40 cents at 52.48, AEP up 10 cents at 73, AK Steel down 5 cents at 5.57, Marathon Petroleum up 61 cents at 52.95, and Valvoline was down 21 cents to finish at 22.48. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where quality candy is their business. The rich aroma of fine chocolate greets customers as they enter the factory store at 550 North Maysville Road in Mount Sterling or at 213 Walton Avenue in Lexington. Ruth Hunt Candies is Kentucky proud, with traditional Kentucky confections like cream candy and Blue Mondays, as well as other Kentucky-made specialty foods, licensed University of Kentucky products, and equine gifts. Online shopping available at RuthHuntCandy.com.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight partly cloudy skies with lows around 58, some patchy dense fog after 11 p.m. Look out for that fog before 10 a.m. on Saturday. Mostly sunny for the rest of your day on Saturday with highs near 81 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows around 61 with patchy fog after 5 a.m. It is currently 77 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Kenzie Thompson, Jacob Lindberg, Jack Caudill, Logan Pemberton, Arlo Barnett, Sam Burton, Sean Delaney, Tilden Johnson, and Chaz Jenkins. Our feature segment today came from commentator John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.